but it's pretty cool, isn't it? And you guys are so well, you adapted. You're like Marines. You just adapt and overcome. So I want to tell you that I missed you last week. Had quite a week, and then I had another wonderful week this past week. Walking Bubba, my untrained dog, and I trip over Bubba as he tries to eat some wiener dogs, and down I go and hurt my foot. So I'll be limping around, and then I go to the doctor to see about my foot and get my chemo shot, and they take my temperature. Why, I don't know. They take your temperature in the doctor's office, but they did. And she said, "You've got a fever of 101. And then the doctors started listening to my chest. And go, "Oh, yep. You've got pneumonia. You've got pneumonia and bronchitis." So off I went to get x-rays and all that stuff, you know. And then I think I'm out of the woods. I think I'm doing great. And then I go see my eye doctor. You think that would be safe, an eye doctor? He sticks a needle in my eye. And something happens. And then the blood in my eye starts gushing out. I lose sight in my eye, but the best part is at least that moment I knew Kathy loved me, because she started freaking out. His eye's bleeding. And then the doctor, it's okay. These things happen, meaning people go blind in my office. You know, so anyway, so you may have noticed during the announcements, I look like at least part of me is an alcoholic because my eye was all red. But anyway, the last thing I want to say off script is we had a terrific scavenger hunt. We had a wonderful time. And if you missed it, I understand. And next year we'll do it again. The Garretts won. So they are the winners. If you want to watch movies, they have plenty of movie stuff. The youth did really well. And do you remember the Christmas, what's that movie where the guy sticks his tongue on the
Christmas story?
The Christmas Story. There's a part of there where a guy gets a leg lamp, and he puts that in his window. Anyway, that was one of the things that the scavenger hunt team had to find, and I thought, they'll never find it. The youth found it. I was so impressed with you guys. And they barely lost to the Garretts. But anyway, kudos to you, and next year, if you guys can, come to that. It's pretty cool when I was talking with Bill yesterday that God led us both to this. Where are you, Bill? Well, y'all are like moving around on me, but Bill said, "Hey, this is the scripture I'm going to read," and I go, "Hey, that's the text for my sermon." And Bill said, "I'm going to say some things." I said, "Sure," and then you just walk away. Well, actually, now I've got my sermon. Now that you said it, I'm going to steal this from Debbie. Debbie showed up with this puppy a couple weeks ago, months ago, and I asked her why. She says, "Well, Pastor, I really don't like your preaching." And I talked to my mom about what I should do about it, and she told me to get this stick and just whack you whenever I don't like what you're saying. So I have a feeling you may not like what I'm going to say today, so I'm going to keep this over here with me. Actually, I need it to hold me up, but also to remind you about Moses. So if you can, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. This is an ordination sermon, and just as a warning, we call this in the Army, Nate, a warning order, okay? That means this is going to come next. So I would like you, if you don't mind, to give a charge to the church here in a moment. But in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, I'm going to reread it, but this time it's going to be from the version called The Message. Same thing that Bill read, just in different words. Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out of the middle of a bush. He looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, "What's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up?" God saw that he had stopped to look. God called him from out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Yes, I'm right here." Would you have said that? I'd have said, "Whoa. This bush is talking." That's what I would have said. God said, "Don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Ryan, the God of Tom, God of Tanya, your God." Moses hid his face, afraid to look at God. And God said, "I've taken a good long look at the affliction of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all about their pain, and now I have come down to help them, pry them loose from the grip of Egypt, get them out of that country and bring them to a good land with wide open spaces, a land lush with milk and honey, the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. The Israelite cry for help has come to me, and I've seen for myself how cruelly they're being treated by the Egyptians. It's time for you to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses answered, "But why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" "I'll be with you," God said. "And this will be the proof that I'm the one who sent you. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, you will worship God right here at this very mountain." Today, as I speak with you and to our church about calling, and I build upon what Bill has already said, I want to turn on a switch. Today is really an affirmation of a calling you've already received, Ryan. It's not the beginning of it today. But it's a switch that we validate. We validate that you were called by God. You will be not only in a moment receive this ordination certificate signed by everyone who interviewed you, but from this point forward, you are a called, ordained minister of God. And a switch gets turned on today because I'll never forget the laying on of hands in a moment will happen in all that are ordained or invited to do so with Ryan. And we typically went by age. So the oldest dude goes first because he needs to sit down. And he walked up to me. And I've shared this with you in other sermons. But I thought I was going to get the wisdom of the ages from this old man because he was as old as Jesus was. And he laid his hands on me and he said, "You better get on two knees because there's a lot of people behind me." And then he went and sat down. I thought, what? But that was a very significant moment. I could almost recall every part of that day. Can I remember what the graduation speech was about? Nah, I can't remember those things in my life. But I remember my wedding, and I remember my ordination. I could recall every second of both of those events. Kathy going on her hair pretty much through the entire wedding ceremony. So today I want to switch to go from off to on for you and to our church. And the text is Exodus chapter 3. I thought it was interesting that Bill and I, apart from each other, arrived at the same scripture when really most people pick what scripture? Timothy. Normally they go to Timothy. So here are things I want to say to you, Ryan. I did think about Timothy, and I thought about it, but God told me no, and now I know why. He's talking to Bill, too. But by the way, as an aside, listening to God is kind of important in your calling. and being willing to make a change. Because you know what? This is proof. You don't know what God's doing. All you need to know is to be obedient to God, and He's got it. And here He put two rascals like me and Bill together to just beautifully perform His will for an ordination service for you. I think that's pretty neat. So listen and join God where He is. So I wasn't sure what to do. I prayed about it, and then God gave me the message that I'm going to share with you today. The first is, Ryan, you've got it. You're being ordained today, not just because you look cool in a sweater. You're being ordained today because we as a church have noticed God's calling in your life. We have noticed the skills that you have. We have noticed the doctrinal stability that you have. You've got it, brother. And you are being called out and set apart by us today to lead us. Lead other churches in the years to come, wherever God places you in Tanya. But you've got it. You've got it. The other thing is, never forget your calling. The Sunday after I was ordained, I showed up to church. It was a winter day like this. It wasn't snowy, but it was a typical Mississippi winter morning. And as I came to unlock the church doors, I did everything that Keith does now. And so I was there to turn the heaters on and all that kind of stuff and get it going. And this man was out in the church parking lot in a car. And so I pull up. He gets out. We walk up to the church door. He offers me his hand. He says, my name is so-and-so. I'm the executive director of the Mississippi Baptist Convention. And I was told y'all were without a preacher, and so I've come to preach today. Well, what had happened was, Ryan, is somebody didn't like me being ordained and me being the pastor of that church, so they just decided they would ignore everything and invite their own people to come and preach. And so never forget your calling. Other people may want to forget your calling. Other people may challenge your calling. Life circumstances may make you doubt it. But just as you hold wedding rings on your hands today that remind you of the commitment you made as husband and wife, what's written on your heart today is this ordination service. We are standing before you boldly saying, God has called you. You'll have your moments. Miss Cecil will call somebody to preach when you're supposed to preach. It'll happen. But never forget your calling. Romans says, God never takes it away. It will always, always be a calling. The challenge for you will be, will you adhere to that calling? But that's the challenge we all face. And you know what? I'll be honest. You're going to screw up sometimes. And that happens. But remain faithful. And one good thing is, just like with my Kathy, you've got a wonderful wife who will jerk your chain in a heartbeat when you start to step out. So God has blessed you. And John recognized that early on in our meeting with you. So the other thing I wanted to mention is, questions are okay. There are going to be times when you doubt your calling, when you doubt some scripture verse, or and I love you, church, and you've been very good to Kathy and I, but every church has its knuckleheads, and I've been buffeted about a little bit here at this church, as well as other churches, and that's part of the calling, is Jesus never said, come follow me, I will ordain you and give you a pink Cadillac and a smooth highway and food, you know, in the refrigerator. He never said all that, right? He just said, come and follow me. And there will be bumps along the way. And as I've told you before, the direction to true north is not a straight line in anyone's life. So you'll have those curves. You'll have those ups, those downs, those great moments, and wonderful churches like this. So questions are cool, though. If you have them, it's all right. It doesn't mean that your calling isn't real. Calling means kind of a reset and some forgetfulness. If you look at everything that I've said, you can look at the life of Moses, and you can link Moses' life to everything I've already told you. But here, when you think about Moses, do you all remember the life of Moses? First of all, he really shouldn't have been, right? He should have been killed. So partly he shouldn't have been. And then he had it all, and then what did he do? He lost all. He lost his temper. Then what did he do? Well, he killed somebody. Right? And then what did he do? Did he face justice?
No, he ran away.
He hit the road, got in his Camaro, and drove away. And off he went. And then what did he do? We say he went off the grid. He went off the grid. He disappeared. And he's on the back 40, and he meets this guy named who? Jethro. And I want you to know, okay, I don't want to get all spiffy with you, but Jethro was not Jewish. Jethro was not following Jehovah God. You can read about it. It's a sect, okay? My point is not everyone in your family is always going to agree with you. There will always be that tension in your family. It's part of your calling. It's part of your balance, too, because you have to balance your relationship with your wife, with your children, and they all have minds of their own. And so that was the family system that Moses eventually married into. And it required a reset for Moses, because everything in Moses' life said, loser. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, would have everlasting life. I don't care to know the in and outs of your life, although Tanya has told me some stories.
There's more.
I'm sure. You're not being called because you're perfect. You're being called because God has chosen you. And I know you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. But in Christ, we're made perfect. And so those moments in Moses' life where he messed up, he had to hit the reset button. Because God has already sent Christ to die for you, and he rose again for you. And when Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished," it's finished, right? Whatever those things are, whatever those experiences are that tell you that you shouldn't be a minister, well, you're right, you shouldn't be. Nor should I. But God called you. And if he called you, he's going to see that calling through. He's going to give you what you need for that calling. So it requires hitting a reset button. And it requires some forgetfulness, because Satan is going to want to remind you. He does with me. All my mess ups and some bad ones that I don't want anybody to know. But hit that reset button. Then I'm reminded of Joshua 24:15. You may be familiar with that verse. Do y'all know that verse?
Yes.
It says again in the message, if you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. Joshua says, choose one of the gods your ancestors worshiped from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites on whose land you're now living. As for me and my family, we'll worship God.
Amen.
So make the choice, make the decision. Go all in with God, and he'll bless you, Ryan. He'll bless your ministry, he'll bless your family. But it won't be easy, Tanya. Part of the DNA of a minister is they have to be a knucklehead too. And and you're going to have to keep him humble, keep him on the right, and also be a good sounding board, because somewhere along the way, he's going to have a run-in with somebody, and he's just going to need to vent. And he's going to need, and what he needs is for you to listen and hear him out and keep him from resigning when he shouldn't resign. Keep him on the straight. But also, let him cry on your shoulder. It's okay. It's okay. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing with Joshua. It's the same thing with Moses. It was the same thing with Timothy. It was the same thing with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and you. Whom shall you serve? And I want to tell you, I have had gun leveled at me during Christmas caroling with the youth. Guy was going to shoot me and our youth. That's when I learned youth are not very loyal to their youth pastor because they left me in the doorway with that shotgun leveled right at my chest. You're going to have tense moments. But I want to tell you that all through my life, I have tried my hardest and I've failed many, many times. But I've tried to serve the Lord and worship Him. And He has blessed my life. He led me to this beautiful girl. Wonderful family that you and I both have. The experiences that we have. Some things still I don't understand. But He has loved you. And He has loved me, and He's called, and I am proud to stand with you as a fellow minister. And I love you, and I welcome you to ordination. I want to lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to figure out what we do next. God, thank you for today. God, thank you for the people that are here today. Because these people are forever joined in the life of Ryan and Tanya in this ordination. God, I pray you'll lead this brother as he goes through and he follows you as a minister of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen.